Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the AP Rallo monthly call taking place on Thursday, 22nd of September 2016 at 0600 UTC. On the call today on the English channel, we have Satigu, William Tibben, Holly Rage, Maureen Hillier, Cheryl Langdonor, Ali El-Meshal, Winthrop Yu, and Diana Garcia. On the Chinese channel, we have Kylie Tan. We have received apologies from Nabila El-Araj, Gunella Asprey, Suaidi Hassan, and Hong Zhu. From staff, we have Calvin Wong, Adam T, Sylvia Vivanka, and myself, Yashim Nazar. Our Chinese interpreters today are Jesse and Yi Yi. Finally, I would like to remind everyone to state their names before speaking, not only for the transcript purposes, but also for the interpretation purposes as well. And over to you, Satish. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Yasin. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on this call. This is likely to be our last call before ICANN 37, because we are likely to merge the October call with the November call as a face-to-face meeting with remote participation at Hyderabad. We will get started with the agenda. We are very pleased to welcome Dr. William Tibben, who is a researcher from Australia. Will had written to us if AP Rallo could collaborate with his research program on internet governance, which after discussions in the leadership team, we were very happy to go ahead with. And Will will be making a five-minute presentation, a brief presentation on his work and how we can support and collaborate with his work. So it's over to Will right now.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me? I've just had to unmute my microphone.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you for the opportunity to speak about a proposal to just conduct a reasonably small research project for me. I've been part of AP Rallo for a number of years. I was originally a representative of the PIC-ISOC group, and from around 2012-2011, I was on the board of PIC-ISOC for a few years, from 2009 to 2012. Since then, I've stepped back, and I'm still a member of PIC-ISOC, and I'm also a member of Internet Australia. So my research interests are driven by, if you just could go to the next slide, or can I actually control that myself? Yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. Thank you. So my interest is on collaborative technologies, online collaboration, and you'll understand why I've got an interest in this, because I've had a long interest in it in terms of my involvement with the South Pacific region in my former career in broadcasting. I was a technical advisor to the Samoan Broadcasting Service from 1990 to 1994. I was challenged in many ways. I was meant to be the expert, but I actually found out that I learned many things through my experience in Samoa, mainly about how assumptions about how technologies work and how the influence of local context, such as culture and socio-economic conditions, can have. So university studies in the late 1990s created new opportunities for me to learn about information technology and the internet, and that partly explains why I got in with PIC-ISOC. Essentially, at that time, when I was still working with broadcasters. I was motivated to create ways to help technicians and engineers in isolated places in the Pacific to participate in social networks with other technicians, engineers, as a strategy to help them solve problems, because they're often very isolated and are facing complex problems. In those days, I had this innovative idea of using fax, so you can see it's quite historic in that respect. So that partly explains why I have an interest in multi-stakeholder governance. I'm very much interested in the opportunities that online technologies present to helping or assisting people in isolated parts of the world to really participate and for the benefit of themselves and also for the benefit of the wider world, of course, to ensure that that knowledge that exists in these places can be used benefit. And I think that kind of explains really what we're trying to achieve in multi-stakeholder governance, is that we want to try and empower and get people that would be normally considered to be in marginalised and less involved groups to participate in policy development. But some have claimed that the assumption that online networks will actually do this suggests that it's naive. I kind of believe that there's more to it in terms of my own experience of the membership of PIC-ISOC, which was largely an online-based community. And also my academic work has also led me to question how practical the concept of consensus is. And as you know, consensus is like an underlying rationale for decision-making within the online groups, well, particularly the committees and online structures of ICANN. So the research question essentially that I'm looking at is if consensus is not a viable justification for multi-stakeholder governance, is there an alternative justification that can still achieve the goals of empowerment for marginalised and less involved groups? So I'm wondering, would you like me to continue on? Has anyone got any questions, or should we leave questions to the end?
No, you can take the questions at the end.
Okay. Okay, that might be the easiest thing, given the fact that it's, even though I've got a very good line, it may be not that clear. I hope it's coming through clearly. Okay, so in terms of the academic side of things, I've based my work on ARROW, the Limits of Organisation, and this is really just as a reference point. I'm not going to dwell too much on that, but ARROW similarly had reservations about the idea of consensus as a decision-making model, and the paper that I sent to Satish and other people in the leadership group up Apirala, I've got that paper and I'm happy to share it with everybody. In fact, it's available, it's been published, so in terms of this more theoretical academic side of things, that's available for you to look at. Okay, so in terms of authority, I think in terms of why I'm looking at authority, it comes out of the work that ARROW produced, and it really comes from our understanding of bricks and mortars organisations in the real world. We tend to employ people with expertise, and with that expertise becomes authority. So such people are given authority to make assessments of the kind of information that's available on behalf of others. That's how traditional organisations tend to work, and there's an assumed link between authority and expertise. And I think that these kind of concepts are useful for trying to understand how multi-stakeholder governance may proceed. And so some of the questions that that kind of spring from this connection between authority and expertise. Can it always be assumed that all members have equal expertise to make the best decisions? Do you feel satisfied that your participation in online groups is worthwhile in terms of the outcomes achieved by the committee? Do you feel satisfied that your participation... Actually, I think I've missed a... Hey, sorry. I've jumped forward a bit. They're the actual questions that I wanted to pose to people. These are the kind of broader questions that... I'll have to move. Yeah, okay. This is a broader question. These are the broader questions that... that kind of spring from this idea of authority and expertise. The first one is, can it always be assumed that all members have equal expertise to make decisions? And does expertise naturally confer greater authority on some? What if expertise confers authority that sometimes at odds with formal authority for forum moderators or the body that hosts the forum? So they're the kinds of questions that that I've developed, which in some ways spring not necessarily so much from my participation in AFIRALO, but certainly in my previous association with PIC-ISOC. So the specific questions that I was thinking of maybe posing to people, the members of AFIRALO, is in terms of opportunities to develop, are there opportunities to develop expertise to influence decision making? Do you feel satisfied that your participation in online groups is worthwhile in terms of outcomes achieved by the committee? I actually got the first question, which, how would you assess your expertise to contribute to decisions in this committee? And just another proposed question, do you feel satisfied that your participation in the online group is worthwhile or the organisation you represent? I realise that many people are representing civil society organisations throughout the Asia Pacific. So that basically covers, in fairly short time, I've probably already exceeded my 5 minutes. So in terms of the next steps, developing the research instrument, which I'll share initially with the AFIRALO Leadership Group for feedback, I need to gain ethics clearance from my university for this to occur. And once this has been achieved, that's when, possibilities to fill out a survey on SurveyMonkey and the possible opportunity for interviews. But a lot of these are just proposals at the moment. They're not set in stone. I'd also like to introduce my co-researcher, Karthik Nagarajan, who's actually just walked into my office. Karthik's recently completed a PhD, which investigated customer service and complaints handling practices of the internet industry in Australia, and he's also currently lecturing at the Federation University, which has a campus in Sydney. So I think that brings me to the end of the presentation.
Sorry to interrupt, Will, I think we're running out of time. Can you please wrap up in about a minute?
How will I finish, actually?
Okay. So are there any quick questions for Will? My own comment is that... please go ahead, Sharon.
Thank you very much. Hi, Will. Good to work with you again. I just have an overarching question on timing. And I better declare I'm being a little protective of our community and surveying whilst we are doing the surveying of our community for the at-large and ALAC review. So I wondered, assuming all goes well through the next steps, what's the likely timing for this program to be beginning?
Well, it'd probably be around... I'd say realistically, probably December would be the earliest, but January, February, I think, would be the timing.
Okay.
Just given that there are certain delays in relation to the university, it's not a straightforward process to get ethics clearance. It generally takes at least 4 weeks or 5 weeks. So we still have to jump through those hoops, and I still need to work with Karthik just to finalise our proposed research questions and the like. So That's the short answer anyway to your question.
Thanks for that, Will. Cheryl, again, for the record, that I'm comfortable with that because it would be envisaged, I assume Holly will agree with me here, that our active ALSs and at-large community will have already contributed to the ALAC review process by then, so we won't be overworking them. I don't want to do either activity less justice than is deserved. So thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I don't see any hands up. So, Will, thanks very much for your presentation. And the topic is pretty much interesting and aligned with our own priorities and thoughts. So we look forward to working with you and also for your results. We are very keen to see your results as well. So thanks very much again. We now move on to the rest of the agenda. The next is the policy update. This is by Maureen. Maureen, please go ahead. You have 10 minutes.
Thank you, Satish. This is Maureen for the record. I don't think I'm going to need that whole 10 minutes because this month's policy list is actually sort of like quite short. One of the things that I wanted to bring to your attention, however, is amongst the statements that have recently been approved by the ALAC. And I think it's of great value to us as at large and as end users. And it's the very first document that's in the statements approved by the ALAC, the at large community policy issues and why end users should care. I think that everyone who can access the, who will take, will access the wiki page and access this link. This is a new paper that's recently been approved by the ALAC, and it describes the different policy areas that the ALAC follows and discusses. And each of the policy areas is followed by a section which explains exactly why that policy area is important to us as at large and as end users. So please download that document, very important, and read through the different policy areas are very interesting anyway, but of importance is, you know, like how, you know, like why is it important to us as end users. The other policies which have been approved, I've explained them to you in previous meetings. The only statement that is actually still outstanding is the statement which that seems to be stalled. And as we have one of the pen holders in our meeting at the moment, it might be interesting, Holly, if you could just give us a little little idea about what the new GTLD subsequent procedures statement.
Well, first of all, I would like to second your statement about the at-large policy issues, why end users should care. It's something the ICANN staff did, and it's really excellent because it just lists all of the policies, or, you know, the main policies right now, a really good summary of what they are and why we should care, and it's just a really useful tool for all of us to have. So I'm really happy with that. With subsequent procedures, I have actually done my piece, and I have sent it to Alan about a month ago, and he says he's drafting a statement. I don't know what's happened to it, but essentially the new GTLD subsequent procedures is when the new GTLD process took place from its very beginning, and Cheryl knows this very well, from its very beginning we had comments. We had comments on the applicant guidebook. We had compliments on the cost. We had comments on IDNs, we had comments, and as we went through, we've had lots of things to say about the whole process. Now, Cheryl's involved in the new subsequent procedures, so maybe she's in a much better place than I am. But the comments that I made to Alan basically recapped and said there are still issues now. Some of those are being looked at by the Consumer Trust group that Kylie and Olivier are part of, and some of them are in new subsequent procedures. The actual working group. Cheryl, have you got anything to add to that so far? Where are we up to? Thank you.
Sure, Holly. Cheryl for the transcript record. The subsequent procedures working group, apart from meeting in the plenary as a whole, and we did some good basic work as Holly was outlining, we've broken up into four sub-teams, and those sub-teams have taken on particular aspects of the work, ranging from various types of review of the applicant guidebook and the appropriateness of some of the technical questions, and looking at whether or not the aspects of internationalised domain names and the promotion of that was effectively done in the current round, and all those sorts of things. That sits into what's called sub-pro team, work team four, internationalised domain names or IDNs and technical matters. I'm one of the co-chairs of that group. The three other groups are dealing variably with sort of outreach and issues, legal and contract issues, etc. The work on all of those is really just beginning. Most of us are only in our second or third meeting. We're meeting fortnightly, and we will be having, I think most importantly, and it will be an opportunity if anyone is wishing to join us on the first Friday afternoon in the Hyderabad meeting. In the PM session, we are having a four-hour block session for the subsequent procedures of new GTLD's working group, and each of us particular work teams will have a section of that to work with, as well as some general stuff. So I think that's probably enough to bring those people up to speed. Other than that, of course, we would welcome more AP RALO involvement and input, and perhaps some of you might find a particular interest in some of the sub-teams. I didn't mention internationalised domain names by accident as one of the work teams, because I would think there would be a number of people within AP RALO that could lend some expertise into that activity, and we are only just getting starting. Just while I'm talking about the work of the internationalised domain names and technical issues sub-team, and yes, I am a shameless advertiser here for the work team I am running. With the background from two of my granddaughters, thank you, ladies. It's very useful for you to be recorded for posterity's sake, for the world to hear your singing. We're also looking at name collisions and universal acceptance as part of our mandate. So if any of those topics get you excited, it's not too late to reach out to staff and join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl, Holly and Maureen. Kylie, do you have anything to add to the policy?
No, I don't.
Okay, so we now move on. Are there any questions on the presentations on policy? Questions, comments, anything? Okay, seeing no questions, we move on now to agenda item number four, which is the ACRO mentorship program, which is a very important program that we have launched, we are in the process of launching. Perhaps next week we'll get going. I request Ali to speak to us about the mentorship program.
Yep. Thank you, Satish. This is Ali Al-Mishal for the record. In this program, as all of you know, that it's something new in terms of the size of the program. So number of calls and meetings that we have together on the APALO leadership team to put the framework and the structures, how we can take this forward. So just recently we have a call with the, as we have specified in our program, with the super mentor led by Cheryl Lindenor about how we can move forward. Allocations between mentees and mentors have been done. So much of a progress are in place. We are doing it. And very soon we will be calling the mentees to attend our first call between the mentors and mentees, and to explain we can move forward. And also, all of those who are attending Hyderabad, who are part of the mentee program, the mentors have been allocated to them. I mean, they will be meeting with them and taking them through the, let's say, the mentorship, the program itself. So far, we haven't announced the final, let's say, program to the mentee, but this is ongoing, and very soon, as I said previously, we will be calling for the call that we are arranging for. So far, I would say to the mentee, just be patient with us. We are developing it, and we are doing it to the best we know and to the best of our knowledge. That's so far, Satish. If there is any inquiries or any questions, I'm more than happy to answer.
Satish, for the record, are there any questions on the mentorship program? Seeing none, Lena says we're looking forward to start. Yeah, I'm sure this is going to get started next week. So we're all quite excited about it. And Cheryl has actually given us a very interesting set of tasks for the mentors, actually, on and some advice on how we should be doing it. We as mentors are also looking to the program as equally rewarding. It's not just only for the mentees, the mentors also kind of benefit from the program. So we are looking forward to starting next week. So thanks, Ali, again.
Yeah.
Are there any questions or comments?
I totally agree. Yeah. Just a comment, Satish, this is Ali again. I totally agree. This is a learning curve for all of us that we are taking that forward. And thank you for the leadership by Cheryl taking this for all of us and giving us into that path of the learning curve. Thank you.
Thanks, Ali. We now move on to the fifth agenda item. This is planning for Hyderabad. Anybody is asking a question, can we, there is a new ALSS like SMC, whether they can join into the mentorship program? So we have a new ALS which joined a couple of weeks back. This is SMC, based in India, and Anivar Aravind is representative. Anivar, what I'll do is I'll pass on your request to Ali, who coordinates the mentorship program, and Ali will get back in a short while. Maybe in a couple of days, whether this is possible or not, because we have already kind of launched it. The actual launch meeting was supposed to be this week, tomorrow, but it got pushed to next week. But anyway, I will request Ali to consider your request and let's see what happens. And thanks for that suggestion. We are now moving on to Hyderabad, item 57. So we've had a number of discussions and meetings on the Hyderabad program, and I'd like to mention the more important ones. Can we have the EP Railo page on Hyderabad, please? This is the ALAC page. You also have an EP Relu page. Yeah, it's coming up now. Now, some of the important things that are happening from our side. Now, since this is meeting is happening in India, it's a part of Asia Pacific, and EP Relu automatically becomes the host Relu for this event. We are organizing the EP Relu showcase, which is a regular kind of event by hosting Relu. Now, the showcase is basically a networking occasion and showcasing the community and also a little bit of local culture. So three objectives. One is networking, where we all get together. Second is showcasing our ALSs. So we will have a small, a brief presentation with one slide per ALS. Pretty quickly, because we don't have much time on it, but maybe 30 seconds per ALS. And we will be putting together this slide deck. And we will be requesting all the ALSs to, ALSs, whether they are participating or not, we will request them to give us one slide, which will combine it into a presentation of the EP Relu community. And thirdly, we will have, we are hoping to have a cultural kind of a performing art presentation by the local, some of the local agencies. Again, it's going to be very short. And we hope to have at least some, we may not have dinner, but maybe some snacks. So the details of this is being worked out, and I request my colleagues in the leadership team to add on to what I'm saying right now. The second event is a capacity building session for the EP Relu community, particularly who are actually physically going to be there. We are not sure whether we can organize remote participation for these sessions, because there are four sessions planned. It is for the ALS representatives and for some of the newcomers who are not yet a part of any ALS, or rather their country does not have any ALS yet. For example, Afghanistan or Bhutan, who are in South Asia. So we have a mixture of people participating in this. We have ALS as representatives. Some are selling one, some are selling two or three. We have some people who are from the at-large community but not affiliated to any ALS. And we also have people who may not be from the at-large region of Asia-Pacific, maybe from outside. So these are our guests. So this session is very important. It is organized by both the EP Relu senior people and the capacity building working group of ELAC, headed by Tijani Sundama. So we had a meeting yesterday on this, and we are presently in the process of putting together the program. Our objectives are basically to ensure that ALSs are enabled to participate in ICANN and EP Relu activities. We will be sending out RSVP requests to all the participants that we are aware are attending the Hyderabad meeting. And so kindly respond and indicate your participation. So this is a very important program, and I would request all the participating ALSs who are physically present in Hyderabad to join this session, these four sessions, which are currently scheduled for the lunch break. Which is the exact timing we will let you know shortly. So this is the second program. We also have the India School of Internet Governance, which is being planned separately, three days prior to the ICANN 27 meeting. This is already kind of announced earlier, and applications have been received and they are being started now. We will have about 40 participants, of which 25 would be from India, 15 from outside India. So that's also pretty much underway. So this is in brief. There is also another set of events which are being discussed jointly with other parts of ICANN, like NTUC and so on. That is being discussed. I see Adam here. Adam is actually organizing a call early next week for that, for coordinating coordination among different groups. This involves basically going to the universities or bringing students from these universities and institutions to the ICANN meeting. This is also being planned. This is in short the activity we are planning for Hyderabad, but I request my colleagues also to add whatever I've missed out. Maureen may want to talk about the First Nation, the two people who are coming from Nerello. Maureen, do you want to talk about it?
Oh, okay. Thank you, Satish. Maureen, for the record. Yes, the, one of the things that we'll be doing in Hyderabad is actually hosting two tribal ambassadors from Nerello. These are two young ladies who are native, indigenous, from an indigenous a group within...
oh, she's gone.
April, and one is Valerie. Their surnames actually elude me at the moment. But they will. I will be working with them, and I have two minders actually from the APRALO team who are will be working with the fellows, because April and Valerie will be involved in the fellows program as well. And so I will be introducing them to people who come to the Hyderabad meeting, and I hope you make them feel welcome too. Thank you.
Thanks, Maureen. That is again. Are there any comments or questions from anyone on any of these programs, or any suggestions on how we should be doing things in Hyderabad? We have others also from India as well, so any suggestions are welcome.
Sorry, Satish, could you just repeat that question?
Yeah, we're just waiting for a comment. It's not a question, it is just a call for comments.
I was just wondering why there was a long pause. I thought Holly would have jumped in and said something.
Well, I will.
Yes, please go ahead.
I think we're going to know a lot more about what we're going to do, because we're having a teleconference tomorrow just on the actual showcase event. I think we're still doing a budget and fundraising, and that's going to have a bit of, it's going to have an impact on what we can do and what we can't do, because clearly our showcase event always has refreshments, including drink and food. It's up until now there has been as well mainly entertainment. At one point, when I was chair of APRALO, we did have just the slides of each of the presentation with a picture of each of the RALOs, just to show how many, and to also make the point that APRALO really is a very, very diverse group of people. We've got to decide, are we going to do that or Abu Dhabi? I don't know. And we still have to work through what a cultural event's going to be. But we've sort of got an outline, and that will be finalized, or at least progressed tomorrow, and then we'll have sort of more details for everybody, which maybe we can put on the website or something. But we're still kind of early days, I think, on that one. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that comment. Thank you again. As Holly just mentioned, we are having a call just for the showcase tomorrow. And in case you're not aware, Imperialo's motto is celebrating diversity, keeping in mind our extreme diversity that we have in the region. Each showcase, we usually highlight this and, you know, build something around this theme. Right. So, I hear some echo on the line. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? Yeah, if not, we will move on. We have any other business as the next agenda. I have a request from Kelvin to speak on this. In the meantime, if anyone else has any other points to raise here, please be prepared. After Kelvin, you will have an opportunity. So it's over to Kelvin of ICANN EPAC Hub Singapore.
Thank you, Satish. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you, Satish, and everyone once again. This is Kelvin Wong from the ICANN APAC Hub. I'll take this opportunity to share something with you. It is the upcoming FY17 first quarter stakeholder call. Our quarterly stakeholder call, or the QSC as we call it. Now this will happen on the 18th of October at 0300 UTC. So that is 11 o'clock Singapore time, and you can calculate the rest for your timings as well. Now the important thing that I wanted to share with you is that well, it's not the first time the QSC is coming to APAC, but I think it's going to be a move regionally, and this time it's we're starting with the move to APAC timing, and we're going to start with more regional content as well. So we do hope to see everyone on the call. I think we've usually sort of hear people saying that the global calls are not being held on the APAC time zone and stuff like that. So I think we've sort of got what we fought for. And so I hope that we can spread the word around and get people, our stakeholders, to come for this QSC. I think more details will be will be shared in the next next few days. This is just the timings and everything has just been quite fresh from the oven. So please look out for more details and the joining and the call details as well. Jia Rong, the VP for Asia, will be sharing about the APAC Hub update as well as our engagement in the APAC region. Of course, we are also looking for feedback and more ideas on what you want us to touch. So if you have any ideas, you could feel free to share it now or just some email to myself. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Kelvin. Kelvin, do you have a link for this that you can go to?
Yes, please.
Not right now. So it's really fresh from the oven. We are in the process of preparing for that, and so do keep a lookout.
Right. Thanks very much, Kelvin. I think it's very interesting. Right. So, so are there any other comments anyone would like to raise? We are at the end of our agenda now. We still have some time if required. Please note that all the meetings that have been listed in the chat are open, and any of you, if you would like to participate and contribute to the meeting, you're welcome to come. Because for several of you, we need your ideas, especially for the showcase, how we can create a showcase, you know, considering our limited budget and so on, something that's interesting. The presentation on all the ALSs, we have 45 ALSs in Imperialo now, how we can make it kind of interactive, even considering that not all of them are physically present at Hyderabad. So we would like to invite your comments or suggestions on how best we can how most interesting we can make this. So those calls are there tomorrow and next week. So I don't see any other hands up. So I assume that we are done for the agenda for today. Right, so thanks very much for attending this call. And talk to you in person in Hyderabad or by remote participation. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Satish. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank
you, Satish, everyone. Bye-bye. This meeting is now adjourned. The audio will now be disconnected. Thank you very much for your participation and have a lovely rest of the day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.